what do you think then the relationship is between, you know, let's say if Cardano does what it's setting out to do and becomes a global standard, let's say an economic alternative to, you know, the fiat system for the whole world. What is the relationship of a system like that succeeding with governments and war and violence? Because I know this is a weird topic, but it's something I care a lot about because my parents are, you know, were pacifists, anti-war activists, and I'm really against war myself. And I just feel like there's an incentive structure in a successful global cryptocurrency that does not incentivize violence as much as the current system does. Do you feel that there's some kind of end game that could actually save the world? I know that sounds crazy, but do you feel like there's any possibility for that?
100%. I firmly believe that. That's why I'm here. I mean, there's nothing in life I can do that's more meaningful than the work that we do here, because at the end of the day, the stakes are if we win, the world has peace. You know, I was a part of the Ron Paul movement back in 2007, and we had a very simple campaign message. It's just three things. It was, you know, choose liberty, a humble foreign policy, and sound money. And they were all interconnected to each other, you know, and at the end of the day, if you have a broken monetary policy and you have a corrupt government and you don't choose liberty, then you basically embrace a war machine that has an incentive to go around the world and kill people in perpetuum because they make $1 trillion a year doing it. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. And we keep trying to put a coat of paint on it, but that is what it is. And they never end. They never stop. And the definition of insanity, at least one of them, is doing the same thing again and again and expecting different results. So if you have money work the same way it worked 50 years ago, if you have society work the same way it worked 50 years ago, why are we complaining that we have the problems of a 50 years ago? You know, if we want to get rid of war, famine, and disease, you got to change the game. And
the thing is, I don't think they want to get rid of it because they make so much money off of it. So my last question, follow-up question, would be, how do we change the messaging then of crypto? Because I don't hear this narrative anywhere, not even in the crypto space, the peace narrative. And I feel like it's really the most interesting and game-changing aspect of decentralization is that it eliminates the need for central bankers and centralized, you know, state forces. I find that to be a really underexplored area, and I think it's a narrative that people might like more than the, you know, Elon bought a billion Bitcoin narrative.
Well, you know, I believe in the Paul Halmos method of doing things. You know, you tell them what you're going to do, you do it, and then you tell them what you did. So, you know, we told them for years, hey, we're going to go and do this in Africa, and I went there. I've been to tons of African countries, and every year I go to the continent. I just got back. I went to six countries. I went from South Africa up to Egypt. And we met with leaders like the president of Burundi and the president of Zanzibar. And we, you know, met with all kinds of people. And this year, we're starting a microfinance end-to-end product with a company called Possessia that's based in Kenya. It's led by a local Kenyan entrepreneur. Her name is Hilda. Wonderful woman. She turned out a job at Google just to work in Nairobi and do these types of things. So there's a lot of passion there. So that's what we're going to do. We're just going to solve that problem for them. And if it works, you know, thousands, then tens of thousands and millions of people will join. And then eventually you have a movement. And, you know, there's already 2 million plus people in the Cardano ecosystem. That's a movement. And it was nothing 5 years ago. So now that's something, you know, we could wake up and have 20 million or 200 million. And if you have the right core, the right principles, the right transparency about it, and the right messaging, it may take a while and might be super frustrating, but there's an inevitability behind victory because we're on the right side of history and we have ultimately the right message. You're basically preaching equality. You're saying that whether you're Bill Gates or a poor farmer in Senegal, you should have equal access to the same necessities of life. And instead of trusting somebody to make that happen, you're building a system where that by design is the way it operates and nobody can change it. I'm the creator of Cardano. I have no ability to change the protocol to make it more fair for me versus anyone else. Okay, that time has passed. So if that's the case, then no one, no nation state or otherwise could tinker with it. In fact, we currently have a deal with a nation state that's in a civil war, in this case, Ethiopia. And there's 5 million people getting an identity system and being brought on. No one can change what's being put onto that system, whether it's politically convenient or not. In fact, the government came to us and said, we really like this system because the Civil War has destroyed tons of academic records and made it super difficult for students that aren't in your system to be able to get their transcripts to be portable. Can you accelerate the program? Because we might want to extend it to an additional 15 million people. So, you know, we tend to be cynical at times and say, oh, well, you know, they will never let us do that. Oh, first off, who the fuck is they? They're people no smarter than us, and they're people no more courageous than us, and in many cases, less so. They're cowards that hide behind power structures and suckle on the teats of society, and they get away with it because they happen to control the flow of information. Fuck them. We're just going to go build our own system, and we're just going to go and do it one way or the other. And if you convince another person, they can convince another person, and you wake up one day and it's a movement, and it's a movement with the history on its side, and you get it done. And, you know, I was in South Africa, and I met with the Ramaphosa family, and, you know, I went over to Cyril's house. They're now in charge of the country. Well, they marched with Nelson Mandela. You know, it seemed really dreary back in the day during the apartheid days about this idea that they'd even get social equality, much less that someone like Mandela would become the president of the country. But it happened. And his acolytes are now there. And, you know, they're moving forward. And say what you will about it, it's an amazing transformation. So it's really just a question of horizons and how patient are you and what are you willing to sacrifice to get there. And if it's a game of one person, you can always assassinate that person or diminish that person or destroy their character in the court of public opinion. That's why that Jenga tower analogy is so important. The philosophical soul of our ecosystem has always been, how decentralized are we? Because the more decentralized we are, it massively reduces the attack surface to a point where there is no viable way to attack a philosophy or an idea. And if you have a philosophy and idea that has basic moral principles behind it, eventually it wins, especially if it's more efficient. Another thing about Africa is, if I can get a world financial system to work in Africa, it's by definition going to be better, more resilient, faster, and cheaper than any financial system in the entire world. How the fuck does the legacy system compete against that? They're out charging overdraft fees and shutting down bank accounts and, you know, deplatforming people and basically screwing anybody they can get their hands on and suckling as much money. And meanwhile, we're making it cheaper than a penny to send them any amount of money anywhere in the world and make it programmable and do anything you want with it. And all the great innovations everybody gets. Every paper I've written is patent free. There's 130 of them. Anybody can use them. Every line of code we've written is royalty free. And that's mostly true for almost every one of the 8,000 cryptocurrencies around, which means my competitors' innovations are mine and their innovations are mine and vice versa. So we all evolve together. And you can't compete against that. That's a movement. The cat's out of the bag. Nation states are starting to get on board. You know, the IMF was threatening Bukele in El Salvador. So he said, fuck it. Just going to go, you know, make Bitcoin the national currency. Yeah, there's a lot of problems with it, a lot of moving pieces to it. But the fact that a nation state can now opt out of the world financial system and somehow live to tell the day is telling you that we're winning at the end of the day. It just takes patience and progress. And that's what makes the game fun and interesting. And, you know, I always have choose to be an optimist. You know, you go have a Don Quixote-esque attitude and go chase those windmills. But at the end of the day, you have to have a sanity check every now and then. And the fact that I was in Mongolia a few years ago, I was talking to a camel herder out in the Gobi Desert, and he asked me what I did through a translator, and I explained it to him. He said, you mean it like Bitcoin? And I was like, you know about Bitcoin? He's like, I own some. I'm telling you, if a dude in a fucking tent in the middle of the desert of Mongolia who has no running water, no electricity, and like basically lives like Genghis Khan lived in 1300, it knows of Bitcoin and owns some. I'm telling you, these central bankers got nothing on us. We're going to win. It's just a matter of time and patience. We got to keep the faith. And I think we will get there.
Fuck, I have chills, guys. That was amazing, Charles. Thank you, man.
Good night, everybody. Good night, friend. Yeah, John, we got to hang out sometime, man. You got to come to the ranch.
No, I'm coming through.
I'll slide into your DMs, but I would love to meet you. That was very inspiring. That last bit really gave me chills and reminded me of why I'm in crypto, man. Honestly, I got chills listening to Charles that last bit because for me, the bottom line of, you know, people in my life who don't know about crypto, they're always like, why are you always like, you know, checking this shit out? It's like, you're crazy. And I'm reminded of why it means so much to me because the world's falling apart around us and the economy's falling apart and Putin's invading Ukraine and China might invade Taiwan. Like, everything's so crazy. And from Trump to Biden, like, crypto is actually the only thing in my life that gives me this real fundamental optimism for society. And when Charles articulated those things so beautifully, it just solidified my resolve, the feeling of my being right about this. Like, I do think this is a revolution, and it's not just about flipping NFTs and making gains, even though that's cool to do. It's about, like, changing the world in a way that it has never happened before and that potentially could actually save lives. Like, I know that sounds pretentious, but I really believe that shit. And I think that's where he was coming from.
When he was talking about Africa, no, like 100%. Like, that's like what you're talking about is like what I envision as like such a best case scenario of an outcome for crypto to like really help like struggling nations, like to really, you know, help get their stuff together. And like, no, dude, what he's doing is very altruistic. Compared to like other people that release other kind of coins or other things into our ecosystem. So yeah, man, I get that. And that was fucking awesome, actually. I don't know how else to put it.
Right on, dude. I feel the same way. I hope everybody agrees with me. My mother always used to say to me that there's two machines of society. There's the war machine and there's the peace machine. And obviously that's reductive, but I really feel that crypto is the most effective gear in the peace machine I've ever seen in my life, and that's what appeals to me about it.